Let's begin reading together now in Joshua chapter 2 and verse 1. And let's hear God's word. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. And she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. "I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued after them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who are beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." And the men said to her, "Our life for yours, even to death, if you do not tell this business of ours. Then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you." Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, "Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward you may go your way." The men said to her, "We will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." Then she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. And now turn with me briefly to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, and begin reading with me at verse 22. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, "Go into the prostitute's house, and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her." So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire and everything in it. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute, and her father's household, and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now let's turn together to our sermon text this morning, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. And again, let us hear the word of our God. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Perhaps once more. Rahab, by faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Let's now pray together again briefly. Our gracious Father, we now plead with you that you would be at work in our minds and in our hearts by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. That, Father, you would sanctify us, that we would rejoice to all the more flee the idolatry of the world, the darkness of the world, and cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for him and for the gospel of our salvation. We pray now that you would bless us richly from your word. For we do pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Imagine with me that you grew up living in a beautiful and a vast mansion. Rooms upon rooms. Full staff. Stocked and supplied with all the modern amenities and recreational pleasures that the 21st century had to offer. And all of your childhood memories are of this house, and you really can't conceive of living anywhere else. Now that you're grown, you and your family live in this house, and it is the house in which you expect very much to live out the rest of your days. But then, one day, a small group of geologists and scientists show up at your front door and tell you that they have discovered something incredibly disturbing about the plot of land on which your mansion had been built. That actually, underneath a layer of solid ground, there is a very deep sinkhole. And by their calculations, the ground has weakened to the point that at any moment now, that solid layer will give way and the entire house will be swallowed up along with everything that is inside. Now, assume with me that all of these scientists are brilliant and eminently qualified, and you have every reason to believe that what they're telling you is in fact the reality of this situation. How long would it take you to make the decision to get out of that house with your family? Would you call a family conference in order to debate for days and days the relative merits of staying versus going? Well, let's not jump the gun. After all, think about how long it took us to remodel the kitchen last year. And think about how much fun we had at little Jimmy's birthday party. And think about the imported Tuscan marble and the great hearth around which we've enjoyed so many songs and hot chocolates. Maybe we should stay for at least a little while longer. No. You would be out of there with nary a second look at the imported Tuscan marble on your way out the door. Your thoughts would be consumed not with lingering enjoyment, but with hurried escape, gathering the absolute essentials and fleeing, as with your very lives. What's the point of enjoying the place for a couple more days if it only means your death and the death of your family? The place that you once called home is now a death trap. And so the only thing that matters at that point is survival. As far as we know from the biblical text, only one family escaped the destruction of the city of Jericho. Only one family survived. It was the family of Rahab, the prostitute. What was it that led to Rahab's survival while the rest of her fellow Jerichoans, Jerichoites, all perished? And of course, our text from Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the answer to that question is faith. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient. But I want us to begin by fleshing out that a little more in light of our opening illustration. Rahab survived because she was the only one who believed the reports of the sinkhole. She was the only one who took the geologists and the scientists seriously. She was the only one to escape because she was the only one who believed that at that point, the place she had called home her whole life was now a death trap. And all that mattered was fleeing to a place of safe refuge. All that mattered for Rahab was salvation. And not just salvation from the destruction of physical Canaan, but salvation from all that physical Canaan represented. Salvation from the world and from the flesh and from the devil. The wages of sin, even death itself. Last week we looked at the faith of Israel in the conquest of Jericho. In other words, we started outside the city walls of Jericho, and along with Joshua and all the people of Israel, we worked our way in. This week, we start inside the walls of Jericho. And along with blessed Rahab, we will work our way out. Faith and salvation. We'll consider Rahab's example of faith this morning in 3 points. First, faith's new confession. Secondly, faith's new allegiance. And then lastly, faith's new home. And so as we begin with faith's new confession, turn back with me to Joshua chapter 2. We read there in the first 7 verses of Joshua chapter 2 about the story of Rahab hiding the spies and then redirecting the soldiers of the king of Jericho so that they wouldn't find those of the people of Israel who had come to spy out the land. Actually, if we were reading our narrative here for the first time and didn't have any prior knowledge of the story, we might actually be a little puzzled as to why she would do such a thing. But verses 8 through 13 make the reason very clear. Rahab is a Christian believer. She is a believer in the one true and living God. Because we read in these verses, as we like to say in our modern Christian lingo, we read her giving her testimony, sharing her testimony with the spies of Israel. And actually, it is an extraordinary testimony. Because prior to this moment in time, Rahab had never actually met another Christian believer. She was converted by the Holy Spirit without ever having yet met a believer in the Lord. Right? I suspect if we all shared our testimonies, they would involve contact with Christian believers, family, friends, ministers of the gospel, some Christian influences that communicated to us the blessed salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. at the very least some literature that spoke about the gospel in positive and commending terms. Rahab heard the gospel from unbelievers. She had come to faith by hearing from unbelievers of the works of God that he had done in Egypt so many years previously, the way he powerfully and gloriously delivered his people from bondage to slavery. And she had heard of the way that God had continued to bless and to protect and to make victorious his people. We read that there in verses 9 and 10 of her confession. She had heard about the judgment of those who stood against God's purposes, that they were to be devoted to destruction. Again, verse 10. And she had heard and believed in the covenant name of Yahweh. Verses 11 and 12. We read in verse 11 that she had abandoned polytheism. She had abandoned the worship of false gods and had placed her trust and her faith in the one true and living God. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. It is actually quite a rich and a full testimony and confession of faith that wondrously the Lord worked into our heart simply from the unbelieving testimony of the pagan peoples that surrounded Jericho. The Lord worked faith in our heart, even through the testimony of unbelievers concerning God's great works on behalf of his people. In our text from Hebrews chapter 11, the people of Jericho are called disobedient. And in the book of Hebrews, the word disobedient is used as something of a synonym for disbelieving. And we see the force of that disbelieving disobedience here in Rahab's confession. The people of Jericho had received news of God's deliverance of Israel from slavery in Egypt. And they had received news of his mighty protection of Israel and the mighty destruction that he had brought upon all of their enemies as they made a pilgrimage through the wilderness. But for the vast majority of the people of Jericho, that news only produced a slavish fear, a cowering. But in Rahab, news of God's deliverance produced not a slavish fear, but a godly fear, a believing fear, a fear that did not cause her to run away from God, but a fear that caused her to draw near to him, to abandon the false religion of her people and to embrace Yahweh, the one true and living God, because she perceived in his purposes not only the mighty judgments, but the mighty grace and the everlasting compassion that he was working on behalf of his people. Rahab heard the news of God's mighty acts of salvation and believed in her heart as our Lord Jesus taught in his earthly ministry, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And that's a hard message to preach nowadays. It's never been an easy message to preach. But, as it has always been, it is a message that must be preached. God's wrath abides on all of mankind because of our sin and because of our rebellion against him. And unless we repent, we all, likewise, will perish. That message saved Rahab. That message saved the Thessalonians. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath that is to come. Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit is still using the faithful preaching of God's coming judgment to convict men and women and to draw them to Christ. And yet it is a message that we must preach in love, winsomely and compassionately as those who are only saved by the grace of God, brands plucked from the fire by the Lord Jesus. All sin must be punished by God's holy wrath, because He is an infinitely holy God in whose presence can abide no sin. And all sin is dealt with in one of two ways. Either your sin was imputed to Jesus on the cross. In other words, either your sin was put on Jesus on the cross, and He bore God's wrath for your sins in His own person, so that you might never have to do the same. Or you yourself will bear God's wrath towards your own sins in the eternal condemnation of the life which is to come. To escape that latter and to participate in the former, you must believe as Rahab did. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear of His mighty works of salvation and respond with faith and with the obedience of faith that cleaves to the Lord Jesus Christ and flees from the destruction that is coming upon the world. Flee to Christ and you will be saved. And secondly, we come to faith's new allegiance. Not only faith's new confession, but faith's new allegiance. Again, Hebrews 11:31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish along with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. I don't know if this has struck you yet, but we have a word for giving a friendly welcome to spies: treason. And we have a word for the person committing treason: traitor. Giving aid to foreign enemies has always been a severe crime in every age and culture, very often punished by death according to the most cruel forms of execution available. In the eyes of the state, Rahab was a traitor, committing treason. And yet our author tells us that this was an act of faith. And the thing to realize about Rahab's situation is that the conquest of Jericho was not simply a conflict between two random nations. The conquest of Jericho was a conflict between the people of God and the world. And in that sense, the conquest of Jericho is, as we spoke of last week, a type and a foreshadowing of the last great day, when the last enemy, death itself, will be destroyed by the Lord Jesus, and all of His enemies will at that point have been made a footstool for His feet, as were promised in Psalm 110 and throughout the New Testament. When the choice is your native country and the enemy country warring against you, seeking your destruction, then yes, you turn the spies in. But when the choice is the church of God, the redeemed of the Lord Jesus, and the world, and the flesh, when the choice is salvation or damnation, heaven or hell, you leave the world behind and you cleave yourself to the church. Because when you believe on the Lord Jesus, you now have a new allegiance. You once belonged to the world, but now you belong to Christ. You once were a slave of sin, but now you are a gloriously blessed slave of Christ. You once loved the things of the world, but now you love the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. You were once in league with the world, the flesh, and the devil, but now these are your mortal enemies. Faith's new allegiance. You have new affections and new desires that have been worked in your heart by the working of the Holy Spirit. Listen to this famous passage from 1 John, and how relevant it is to Rahab's story and to all of our stories. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away, along with all of its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. The Holy Spirit had given Rahab a love for the Father. And so she no longer loved the world. Not the way that she did before, at least. The kingdom of Christ and the world have two mutually exclusive sets of desires and affections. You cannot have one of your feet firmly planted in the kingdom with your other foot firmly planted in the world. It's not possible. They are two mutually exclusive kingdoms. It is true that as believers, yes, we still struggle daily against sin and against the corruption of the flesh that still remains in our hearts. And it is a hard struggle. But do you see the key in the way that I phrased it? It is a struggle. We're not comfortable now in the world. We're not comfortable with our flesh. It is now a struggle that we yet bear sin in our hearts because we desire to be like our Lord and our Savior. And we have the promise of the Spirit that one day we will be like Him when He resurrects us in glory. We know that our flesh is not of God. And so we come more and more each and every day to hate it. And so to fight that we might put it to death. You are in a very spiritually dangerous spot this morning. If your struggle against the flesh is a casual, get to it when you can skirmish. Instead of a daily, tooth and nail fight. Casting yourself on the power of the Holy Spirit within you that you might be preserved from the temptations of the flesh, that you might be delivered in the day of trial. I don't see any perfectly sinless people here this morning. And so we are all people who must be fighting daily to cultivate the new affections of the Spirit while putting to death by the Spirit the old affections of the flesh. For sin is no longer our master. The Lord Jesus Christ is your new master. The Spirit is the one He has put within you, that you might stand arrayed in the armor of God in the day of temptation. That's what Rahab illustrates so vividly to us this morning. That you have a new allegiance. You have new affections, and so you must now turn all of your strength toward putting to death that which is worldly in you by the power of the Holy Spirit and seeking the things that are above, where your life is hidden with God in Christ. Which brings us at last to faith's new home. Faith's new home. Well, we read in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 25, "But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive." Interestingly, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, that little phrase, "Joshua saved alive," would look very much to us like "Jesus saved alive." Because Yeshua in the Hebrew is translated Yesu in the Greek, Joshua, our Lord Jesus. Emmanuel. Joshua saved alive, and she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And it is this verse in particular that our author here in Hebrews chapter 11 has in mind when he writes these words. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. It was the new confession and the new allegiance of faith that motivated Rahab to align herself with the people of God. And God rewarded her faith by truly enveloping her into the fold of his sheep pen, by truly embracing her as one of his own children. By faith, Rahab was counted among the redeemed of the Lord Jesus. And I think it's interesting that almost everywhere in Scripture then that Rahab is mentioned, she is called Rahab the prostitute. You would think that the Bible would stop calling her that. Two of the three places in the New Testament where Rahab is mentioned, she is called explicitly Rahab the prostitute. And it is not to dwell on her past. It is not to cast her in a bad light. Not at all. Rather, it is to magnify the grace of God. There is no one so lost in sin, no one so marginalized by society that they are beyond the reaches of God's grace and his mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. One person was saved out of all of Jericho, along with her family, and she was a prostitute. As the Lord Jesus rebukes the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 21, that though they took pride in their own righteousness, yet prostitutes and tax collectors would go into the kingdom before them. That the first would be the last, and the last the first in the kingdom. Without faith, even the highest and the mightiest of all the earth are of no account before God because of their disbelief and their disobedience, their sin and their rebellion. But with faith, even the lowest, most despised and wretched of the earth can be washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I want us to close this morning thinking for a brief moment about the doctrine of election. Just hang in there with me for a sec. I promise it will tie in. You see, when we first embrace the truth of election and predestination from the Scriptures, it is a wonderful and an exciting thing. But it can also then become a dangerous thing, because the devil can now come to us and whisper in our ears, what if you're not elect? What if your name isn't written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Look at all of your sins. How could God possibly love you and accept you? Have you ever been tempted to doubt these things by the lies of the evil one? Imagine with me Rahab in her house, watching Joshua and all of Israel march around the city of Jericho day by day. And one of those days she thinks to herself, what am I doing? I'm not one of them. I'm not righteous. I'm a prostitute. Maybe I should just take down the scarlet cord and go back to being a Canaanite prostitute. Now, that's not what happened. Why? Because Rahab, by faith, remember, came to see that she was living on top of a sinkhole, with only certain death if she remained. And she came to believe that the one true and living God himself promised to her solid ground and blessing and forgiveness and a life if she but left that place and cleaved herself to God's people. So she left. She fled the city of destruction for the city of God. And there was no turning her back. She was not going back to Canaan, because that was death. But with God, there was life everlasting. Psalm 84, verse 10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. So the question, am I elect, is the wrong question entirely. Plumbing the secrets of election is God's business, not man's, and certainly not the devil's. The question is always, have I fled to Christ? Have I believed on Christ alone for my salvation? If you have believed on Christ, then that is your sure hope. That is your assurance that the faith you have in Christ, worked into your heart by the Holy Spirit, is itself the badge and the testimony that you have been loved by the Father from before the foundation of the earth. Maybe you've noticed the Bible is not a big list of names in two columns. Who's saved and who's lost? Rather, the Bible is a promise that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Rahab is a shouting testimony that being saved, being redeemed by the Lord Jesus, is not about being the right nationality. It's not about being part of the right social stratum. It's not about being the right profession. It's not about being moral enough, because all of our righteous deeds are as filthy rags in God's sight. It's about grace, and it's about faith. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? It's about fleeing the pit of death that is this world, the city of destruction, and running to Christ, believing that He alone is able to save to the uttermost. If you have not yet run to Christ, run to Him now. Believe in Him alone for your salvation, and you will dwell in the house of God forever. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, we praise you for the glorious miracle of faith, that though lost and mired in the darkness of our unbelief, you had mercy upon us. And you filled us with your Spirit, that you gave sight to us in our blindness, to see that if we remain where we are, we have nothing before us but death and condemnation. Lord Jesus, we praise you for giving sight to the blind and proclaiming liberty to the captives. We praise you that you had mercy upon us, and that you, by the working of your Spirit, gave us eyes to see that salvation lies in you alone. And so we do now pray, Father, that you would cause us day by day to embrace the Lord Jesus, that you would be merciful to us, that you would protect us from the lies of Satan, and that you would give us lips that freely, joyfully, winsomely, truthfully proclaim to others the good news of Jesus Christ. Give us lives that adorn that profession with holiness. And we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.